All right, good afternoon, everybody. Good to see you. Hope everyone's doing well. Youth between 6th grade and 12th grade, you guys can follow our leaders out the back. Might need a little adjustment. Guys, thanks so much for joining us today. That last song, just "Will You Meet Me Here Again," I just was thinking in the back just that my expectation is that God wants to meet with us tonight. And so I'm glad that you're here. Hope you came in with that expectation. I know we are at our last kind of weekend before hitting school start. I know several of us have kids starting this kind of week, and so I know there's quite a few families kind of getting in last adventures. I took my kids backpacking this weekend with another couple dads, and we endured a pretty vicious hailstorm last night in the tent. It was the first time my kids have experienced that, being separated by some thin nylon and actually absolutely being hammered by hail and lightning and stuff. So they're convinced it hit the lake. Afterwards, they went outside and they're like, "It's like a hot tub." You know, I don't know if that really happened, but they were convinced that it did. Well, guys, tonight we're going to be wrapping up this section that we've been looking at for a little while now. I didn't introduce myself. My name's Chris, for those of you guys that are new with us. I'm one of the pastors here. But we've been working for a little while through Ephesians chapter 6 and looking at the articles of the armor of God. And tonight we wrap up this series, and we're going to be in Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. So if you have a Bible, I would invite you to kind of turn there. To follow along with us in just a few minutes. There's some Bibles in front of you, and we'll also have the words up on the screen. Let me go ahead and pray, and then we're going to dive in. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to be together, and that last song we sang, just, God, would you meet us here? And I know that some of us came into this space, and we are just desperate to get a fresh word from you. Others of us, maybe we've been living in close intimacy or proximity to you, and again, we know that your words are life-giving. So I just pray tonight that you would speak to us, each of us, where we are. We're in different places in our journey and in our relationship with you, and I just pray that you would meet each one of us where we are. So God, give me the words and help me to speak them courageously. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you're new with us, as I just kind of mentioned, we've been working through the book of Ephesians for a little while, this letter that Paul the Apostle wrote to the Ephesian church in a town called Ephesus. We actually started this way back in January. Some of you guys have been with us for a while, so we've been in this for a good solid 8 months, and we can see the end in sight. Next week, we're going to be wrapping up this letter. Tonight, we finish up with the armor of God, and then next week, we will be kind of wrapping up the last couple verses of chapter 6. So I don't know about for you guys. I hope that you feel like you've grown and you've learned through this over the last 8 months. I know for myself that as I've kind of dove into this section of Scripture and taught it and things like that, I've learned a whole lot. So it's been really good. Well, as you're making your way to Ephesians, I want to start with kind of a question. How many of you guys have ever seen the game show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire before? Or there's the other version, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? You know, I love that show. That one's hilarious. They basically are the same premise, right? You have a contestant who is chosen, who is invited up, and they're given various trivia questions. And if they know it, they answer it, right? They're like, lock in the answer. Or they're like, yes, I know the answer to that one. If they don't know it, they get to this point where they try to problem solve on their own. They might guess, but they're given these lifelines, right? They can reach out, they can phone a friend, they can get the 50-50 where it eliminates two of the options. On Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, I think you can cheat on one of the kids' papers, you know, and kind of figure out, does the 10-year-old know more than I do? Can I trust them kind of with the answer? Well, I love these kind of shows because I love information, I love facts, I love trivia kind of stuff. I just find it really fun. Well, the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at these 11 verses in Ephesians chapter 6 that talks about the armor of God. And basically what Paul is doing here is it's the end of this letter, and he says, I got one final teaching. I have one final instruction. I have one final encouragement for you guys. And that's that I want you to know that there is an unseen realm, there is an unseen world that is out to discourage you. It's out there to get you down. It's out there to derail you. This unseen realm, these spiritual forces of evil, as it talks about, doesn't want you to fulfill your purpose. And whatever they can do to kind of knock you off that path and to derail you, they're going to seek to do that. And the third thing they're going to do, they're going to discourage you, they're going to derail you, and then the third thing they're going to try to do is divide you. They're going to try to divide your marriage. They're going to try to divide the relationship that you have with your children. They're going to try to divide your relationships within your church community, within your friendships, within your relationships at work. They're all seeking to do these kind of things. Well, last week it was interesting. Afterwards, I was talking with someone else that was here, and we were sharing some different stories about how we feel like we were in moments where angels protected us, or some of the good forces kind of worked on our behalf to protect us or shield us or guide us in a certain scenario. Well, this is not the side of the coin. This is part of the unseen realm, is that there are angels that God uses to work out his purposes as well. But here Paul is warning us about the spiritual forces of evil that are out to do these things to discourage and derail us. So tonight we're going to be looking at this kind of final tool that we've been given in order to stand our ground when the devil's schemes comes after us. We've talked about that there's these flaming of arrows that shoot at us and how we have the shield of faith to stand our ground. And the final tool that we're going to find and talk about tonight is the tool of prayer. It's the last thing that he mentions that's kind of in our arsenal to protect ourselves from these kind of attacks. So a few minutes ago, I mentioned about Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? My point with that is that in these shows, you get to this point where you've exhausted all of your intellectual resources. You've exhausted all of your reasoning, and then you reach out for help outside of yourself. That's not the way it's supposed to be with prayer. Prayer is never intended to be what I would say a last resort. Oh, I've taken the resources and the wisdom that I have in this world that God's given me, and I've tried all those things, and now I'm at the end of my rope. I have no idea how this scenario is going to work out, so now I'll pray. I don't know about you guys, but in my life, things are breaking down all the time. You guys experience that? You have car parts that are not functioning correctly. You go home and you find that the toilet's leaking, the light bulb in the refrigerator's burnt out, all of this kind of stuff. You're driving home and there's no more windshield wiper fluid. All the time, every week, something is not functioning. And I don't know how this goes with you, but oftentimes in my life, I'm a DIY guy. It's not because I really necessarily love to do that stuff. I'm a very frugal person. I'd rather not pay someone else to do it if I can figure it out myself. And so I find myself in these places where I'm trying to figure out these things that aren't working. And more often than not, in my relationship with my wife, I'm, you know, messing with something. I'm visibly getting frustrated or flustered about it. And my wife asks me the question. Anybody know what the question is?
What's wrong, honey?
Did you Google it? That's the question she asked me. Did you Google it? And I'm like, no, I didn't Google it. Like, I figured I could get this thing figured out. And more often than not, I play with it a little bit longer. And then I Google it. And then all of a sudden, like 30 seconds later, I've taken the cover off. I've replaced the light bulb. I've got the toilet fixed, whatever it may be. So for me, a lot of times Googling is a last resort kind of option. And don't overplay my analogy here, because there's value in using my mind to figure things out on my own. I don't like immediately going and asking Google what the answer to a question is. I like the power of thought and thinking about things. So there's other value in that, so don't overanalyze my analogy. But the point is that prayer should be our first resort. It shouldn't be our last resort. And I would even venture to propose that it shouldn't just be first and last, it should be our continual resort. We should learn to live in this posture of prayer where we are communing with God, and I think that's some of what Paul is talking about here. So follow me along with me here. We're going to be reading verses 18 through 20 in chapter 6. Paul says to them, he says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So as I've already mentioned, tonight's focus is on this topic of prayer. So let's talk about prayer for just a second. The first thing I want to ask you is, do you believe that prayer is a gift? Do you believe that prayer is a gift? Or is it something that maybe you find a tendency to kind of take for granted? So think about this for a second, that the God of all the universe, he's holy, he's all-powerful, he's before all time, he sits outside of time, he's all-knowing, that he wants an intimate relationship with you such that he's given us this gift of prayer. Now, in our society, in our culture, right, that someone that is kind of at the top of the top is generally kind of, in our culture, kind of inaccessible. They don't have time to mess with the little things from the little people. Now, God's not like that. He intimately wants to have a relationship with you. Do you believe that? I know I've asked that question of several people before, and I've had several people honestly say, yeah, I just don't think he really does. I want to tell you that he does. He does want to have a relationship with you. You might be sitting there thinking, oh, surely John and Sarah, like he wants definitely wants to have a relationship with them, but I'm not sure about me. Or maybe you're sitting there thinking like, yeah, he definitely wants to have a relationship with me, but I'm not sure about Tina or Tommy, whatever. He wants to have a relationship with us, and he's given us the gift of prayer. There's two things we learn immediately in this section from that Paul points out about prayer. And the first one is he says, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. What exactly does that mean? Now, the New Testament describes that when we place our faith in Jesus, that something phenomenal happens. When we place our faith in Jesus, that he lived and that he died and that he rose again, that we are given the gift of himself, that his very Spirit comes and dwells inside of us. That's crazy. It comes and dwells inside of us. And so the reality is that if you are here tonight and you acknowledge that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then the Spirit is dwelling inside of you. And regardless of whether you acknowledge it or not, it's speaking to you. It's prompting you. It's encouraging you. It's warning you. It's guiding you. It's directing you. Have you ever experienced that in your life? Experienced the Spirit maybe protecting you where you went a different way than you planned to go? Or maybe you went and talked to someone that you didn't plan to, and all of a sudden it made sense why? Well, one thing I think that it means to pray in the Spirit is to be attentive to the what. To be attentive to the when, to be attentive to the where, and to be attentive to the who. What I mean by that is that we need to pay attention to what the Spirit might be prompting in us to pray for. You might find yourself just driving down the road one day and you just kind of think about something. Pay attention to that. Pay attention to what comes on your mind and begin to pray for that. Pay attention to the where that the Spirit might lead you. Because you might be one day just sense that the Lord wants you to drive to your kid's school. And maybe you walk around the perimeter, maybe you drive around the perimeter and you just pray for the school. Maybe God leads you to go to the University of Montana campus and to walk and pray. Maybe he leads you to go to your coworker Sarah's house and to walk or drive around their neighborhood and pray for them and pray for their family. Maybe he leads you to walk up the M and to just pray over the city of Missoula. We need to pay attention to the when of when the Spirit is prompting us. This is super important in my opinion. And that could be that in the middle of the night you wake up and you look at the clock and it's 2:47 in the morning, and all of a sudden you think of your friend Julie. And maybe you haven't thought of Julie in 4 years, but for some reason at 2:47 in the morning you think of Julie. Could it be that the Spirit has prompted you to pray for Julie in that moment? And maybe the when is really important. I've heard of other people taking different scriptures, like Luke 10:2 talks about, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. So I've had people set an alarm in their phone where every day at 10:02 p.m. or a.m., whatever it may be, that a notification comes up and they pray for workers. So the when can be important. And then finally, the who. I mentioned this a little bit with some of my analogies, but pay attention to who the Spirit might be placing on your mind to pray for. Guys, prayer is one of the greatest gifts that God gives us. Think about this for a second, that in prayer, we can be a part of what God is doing in someone's life when we are unable to be physically present. That's kind of a mind-blowing thought. It's one thing to show up at someone's house and help them like unload their groceries or, you know, shovel their sidewalk or do something tangible and physical or sit with them when they're grieving after the loss of a child or a parent. Those are all important, valuable things, but prayer is such a gift because the Spirit can put someone on our mind that there's a battle going on, and maybe they live 100 or 1,000 or 5,000 miles away across a giant ocean, and in that moment, you can join God in what he's doing. That's a pretty incredible gift that we get to be a part of that. Personally, one of the habits that I've sought to establish is to just pay attention to these moments when the Spirit lays someone on my mind. You guys been in those kind of situations where you're just randomly, you think of like this college friend you had that maybe you haven't talked to in 15 years, or maybe you think about some coworker from 3 years ago, positively or negative. So just, we have sometimes these thoughts that just come up into our mind. And a few years ago, I began to test the idea that maybe that's just not a random thought. Maybe when I think about Joe from 15 years ago, in a random moment when I'm driving or I'm eating or I wake up in the middle of the night, maybe, just maybe, the Spirit has put that person on my mind at that moment so that I can intercede and pray for them. What's amazing is I begin to test this, I begin to pray in those moments, and then sometimes I would call them or sometimes I would text them and say, hey Joe, just was thinking about you today, I prayed for your family and prayed for, you know, God to guide your children or whatever. Then all of a sudden, I'd start getting these replies that were just like, Chris, like, I haven't heard from you in 3 years. Like, how in the world did you know to pray for my family in this moment? This is going on, and I can't believe that. Like, I was like, well, I didn't know. God knew. If you begin to step out there and test this idea that the Spirit is in you and prompting you and leading you, you're going to uncover that God is working and speaking to you on a very common basis. So praying in the Spirit is being in tune with what God is doing and what he's saying, and it's joining him in that work. That's the privilege that we get. Romans 8:26-27, some of you guys might be familiar with this. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through groanless words. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. That's pretty cool, right? God places someone in your mind or on your heart, and you're like, I don't really know what to pray for. This is an incredible promise that the Spirit intercedes for us. We just have to say, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to pray for Joe, but I feel like you've placed Joe in my heart, so I just give them to you, and I pray that you would take my words and make them whatever they need to be. Some of us might be here and say, like, man, I'm just not good at prayer. I'm not eloquent. I'm not good with my words. I stumble. I sound like kind of a four-year-old when I pray. It doesn't matter. That's the beautiful thing, particularly in this promise, is that when we come to God, he knows our hearts, and we can just give him what we've got, and he'll clean up the mess. I think that's pretty sweet. The second thing that we hear from Paul here is pray in the Spirit, and the second thing is to pray on all occasions. The best way I think you can describe this, in my opinion, is that there's never a bad time to pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. What I think this maybe means is you should pray when you go to bed, You should pray when you roll over in the middle of the night. You should pray when you wake up and you got to empty your bladder. You should pray when you wake up and you put your feet on the floor and you're starting off your day. We should pray when we get in the car and we're about to start off on a journey. We should pray while we're driving, and we should pray when we arrive at our destination and we step out of the car. We should pray before we eat. We should pray while we eat. We should pray when we finish eating. You get the idea. There's never a bad time to pray because we're inviting God into everything that we do and believing and trusting that he's leading us, guiding us. He's inviting us into the gift of being a part of what he's doing. I know I've heard a lot of people say before that, I just don't want to bother God. He's got so much important stuff to do. He does. He's got lots of important stuff to do. That's listening to you, connecting with you, inviting you into communion and relationship with him on a regular basis. That's the important stuff that God's about. Transforming your heart and using you to transform others through the gift of prayer. So guys, I want to keep this simple tonight. So the last portion of our time together, I want to kind of draw out three main points of prayer. So we're supposed to pray in the Spirit. We're supposed to pray on all occasions. And then I think Paul gives us three points of prayer that we should pray for all things. We should pray for all people. And we should pray for all occasions. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. How many different types of prayer can you think of? There's no right answer to this because there's so many. There's prayers of worship. There's prayers of thanksgiving. There's prayers of praise. There's prayer of confession. There's prayer of consecration, which is dedication. There's prayer of supplication, which we think of, which is praying for others and or praying for your needs. Intercession is praying for others. There's prayers of submission. God, help me to surrender my will to your will. There's prayers for justice. God, this situation is not right. Intercede in this place and in this situation and bring about justice in the situation. There's public prayer. There's individual prayer. There's so many different types of prayer, and I think that's why Paul here says, pray all kinds of prayers and requests. This week I found and I downloaded this app. I don't know if it would interest anybody, but I'm going to share it with you. It's called Prayminder, kind of like Reminder, but Prayminder. And it's a very simplistic app. Don't expect to be wowed by its graphics or any of its deep features, but this app, Prayminder, you can download it, and you just create a list. You know, I added my wife, Courtney, my daughter, Amelia, Hanley, Emmeline, Explore Church. I put Missoula on there. And I've just used this for about 4 or 5 days now, but what's amazing is by default, it actually triggers 5 notifications a day. You can change that to 3, you can change it to 10. But all of a sudden, I'm just going about my day doing whatever, and I hear a ding, and I look at it, and it's like kind of a nice little tone. It's not like super annoying like some are. So it goes off, and I'm like, oh, there's my prayer reminder, and I look at it. I have prayed so much more for my family this week, for our church, and for our city than I had previously just because I'm employing a resource that reminds me to pray. It's awesome. I'm really excited about it. So we need to pray for all kinds of things. The second one is to pray for all people. He says, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. This part is the part that probably intrigued me the most. I loved thinking about and processing what does it look like to pray in the Spirit, to trust that the Spirit is in me and speaking to me and leading me and guiding me and prompting my thoughts. But I found this part probably the most fascinating to me. And the part that was most fascinating is that he uses this phrase, be alert. Be alert. It's very fitting in the context, right, of the spiritual realm. Be alert. There's the devil's schemes. There's the flaming arrows of the evil one. Be alert that there's these spiritual forces, right? That makes sense, right? It makes a lot of sense. But there's something else that's kind of different or interesting to me. I don't know about you, but when I think of the word be alert or the phrase be alert, I think of just like kind of broadening my peripheral, right? All of us have been in different situations where we're alert, where we're kind of, we're scanning the horizon, we're maybe looking behind us, we're keeping an eye out for something that might catch us by surprise, right? That was what it means to be alert, is to be ready for that. Last week, I had the opportunity to go up to Glacier. I did a big climb with my friend Josiah that some of you guys know. And the climb that we did, there's a ton of bushwhacking where you're hiking through like head-high bushes filled with berries, off trail. You can't see your feet. It's like a bear wonderland, you know. Everybody's been to Glacier know there's a lot of grizzlies up there and stuff like that. And there's no people in this part of the park. So it's just like, it's just kind of spooky at some points. You have to be very bear aware in this portion of the park. Another part of our climb was that we're climbing up all this like really loose, crumbly rock. If you've been to Glacier, you know it's like an eroding mess. So we had to be very alert, be very aware that when one of us was climbing above the other, that the person above could knock down rocks and boulders on top of the person below them. So we had to be very aware of what was going on and the dangers. And, you know, even to the point where on our way out, we were kind of coming down the trail, and thankfully both of us were yelling, you know, hey bear, and whooping and hollering, and we came around the corner and we spooked a grizz like 30 yards from us, you know, kind of ran off the trail. Had we not been yelling, there was a nice, like, fresh plop right in the trail, if you know what I'm talking about, like very, very, like, just happened kind of deal. So had we not been yelling, we would have probably come face to face with this guy. So we came around this corner, and it kind of, we heard the cracking sticks, and I was like, get your bear spray ready, you know. So we're standing there just kind of ready and alert for if it decided it wanted to have something, some part of us. But I think what's interesting here is that I think Paul's emphasizing, because I've heard this phrase before, that there's no I in team, right? It's one thing to be alert for yourself. It's another thing to be alert for others. I think Paul wants the Ephesian church to have each other's back in prayer. We're a very individualistic society, right? We come into church, we listen to God's word, we generally think about the things that we're going to latch on and apply to our life. So we're very individualistic in our approach, but I think Paul here is saying that we need to be alert, not just for ourselves, but for each other. I don't know about those of you guys that hike, you know, when I go on different climbing trips and stuff like that, I've been in a couple situations where I get to the trailhead and with my partner, I'm like, all right, you got bear spray. He's like, oh, dude, I didn't bring any. Like, is that cool? And I'm kind of like, I'm glad that I have some, but like, if you get mauled, I can like help you. But if I get mauled, you got nothing to help me, you know? I feel more vulnerable kind of in that situation because what are you going to do? Throw sticks at it, you know, or rocks and then hit me? So I think the point here is that I mentioned that prayer is a gift, but there's this other fact that prayer is a gift that we can give one another. And when we are alert, it means that we're aware that the enemy is out to not just discourage, derail, and divide me and my relationships, but he's out to do it to every one of you. And if I'm alert and in tune, then maybe when I'm prompted to pray for Joe in the middle of the night, maybe I might realize that, man, maybe he or she is under some intense attack right now, and I need to battle for them. I think that's important. With this, I want to make one last point, and that is that prayer is enough, but it's not always enough. Prayer is enough, but it's not always enough. James 2, 15 through 17 says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. If you see a brother or sister who's battling an addiction or whose marriage is crumbling and they need help, and all you do is pray, then I don't think we're doing enough. Sometimes we need to step in and say, how can I help you tangibly, physically, emotionally? I think you guys know what I mean when I say prayer is enough, but it's not always enough. The final point I want to make on this is that I titled this Pray for All People. In this context specifically, it says pray for all the Lord's people. So in this context specifically, it's like pray for the Lord's people. But obviously, if you think about the broader context of Scripture, we're told to pray for our enemies. We're told to pray for our government leaders and authorities. This week, our mayor of Missoula passed away. We should be praying for our city and praying for who the city would choose as the next mayor and lead us into this next generation or season. It tells us to pray for those who sin against us. The scriptures specifically tell us to pray for Jerusalem. And it tells us to pray for the nations. So that's why I labeled it pray for all people, although in this context it says pray for all the Lord's people. Our third and final point is to pray for all opportunities. Let's read again verse 19 and 20. It says, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So Paul here asked them to pray for him that he would be fearless in his proclamation of the gospel. I've always loved this section right here. I think it's so amazing that Paul asks for this prayer. He asks for this. When was the last time that you prayed and asked God to make you bold and fearless in proclaiming the gospel? When was the last time you prayed and asked God to give you words to speak the mystery of Christ to someone today? I'm not going to survey the crowd, but I would be shocked if there's not some people in here that have never prayed that before. Or maybe they prayed it 10 years ago or 5 years ago. You see, Paul understood that the gospel was life-transforming. He experienced its power and it transformed his life. And he didn't care what it cost him. He didn't care what pain was brought his way. He knew it was that valuable. He knew that his flesh was weak, though, so he prayed, give me words, but also give me courage and give me fearlessness to proclaim the words that you give me. Guys, I would love for us as a church to pray every day this week, every one of us to pray this week that God would give us words to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. That doesn't mean that we come in with lots of heat, you know, with our words. We come in with a spirit of gentleness and love and compassion and passion for God, concern for our fellow man. But I wonder if all of us this week, every day this week, just prayed, God, give me words and give me courage and fearlessness to proclaim your mystery. So what is that mystery? The mystery is that through Christ, we can be made right with God. It's a mystery that at this point was kept hidden for ages and generations, but has now been disclosed. It's now been revealed. The lid has been taken off and the surprise has come out. That it's not based on what you do. It's not based on what you believe. It's not based on your performance. It's based on what Christ did on your behalf. When I said it's not based on what you believe, I mean that's not the mental assent to a bunch of facts that you can ramble off in your head. It's that you know in the core of your being, in your gut, that Christ is Lord. That what he did on the cross was sufficient. That as we've talked about before, that he put the breastplate of righteousness on for us. I don't have to muster up my own ability to put on my own righteousness because Christ's righteousness is sufficient for me. And through my faith in him, that his blood has covered me and it's given me a new identity as his son or as his daughter. Worship team, you guys can come on up. As we wrap up, I want to come back and go back on one little phrase that we kind of skipped. If you look in verse 18, right after it talked about being alert, it uses this one little phrase where it says, always keep on praying. always keep on. What that means is to keep praying. Don't grow weary. Don't give up. All of us have had some experiences, hopefully, where we prayed for something and we saw God answer. I know all of us have had some experiences where we prayed for something and we didn't see what looked like anything change. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed and nothing really changed. I think these are the moments where we let go and let God, as some people say, and I think that just means that we trust that God is at work. We talk about this unseen realm, that God is at work in a situation in ways that we can't see and we can't understand. But one thing we can do is be confident in his character, that he is working out all things. And we can trust him for that. So Explore Church tonight, I hope you're reminded that prayer is a gift. And maybe it's a gift that you've been neglecting for a little while. You've not been practicing it. You've not been seeing that the God of the universe has invited me into a relationship with him and has given me the opportunity to commune with him in prayer. And what an incredible, humbling privilege that is. I hope that you've been reminded that when we pray in the Spirit, we're believing and acknowledging that when we place our faith in Christ, that the Spirit really does dwell in us. The reality, though, is that we can ignore that Spirit and start to harden our heart to the Spirit where we just don't hear it. Or sometimes we confuse the Lord's voice for just our mind or the world's voice. I hope we've been reminded to cultivate the habit of praying all the time. We talked about praying in the car, praying while you're driving, praying while you get up. There's never a bad time to pray. And finally, our 3 points of prayer, that we should pray for all things, pray for all people, and pray for all opportunities. So I want to remind you again, it'd be amazing this week if each one of us said, God, today, when we put our feet on the floor, when we get out of bed, we say, God, today, would you please give me the opportunity to fearlessly make known the mystery of Christ? And God, that terrifies me. I have no idea what I'm going to even say in that moment, but just like Paul prayed, I pray that you would give me the words. And I'm going to trust and believe that even if I sound like a 4-year-old stumbling over my words, that you are able to use that in that moment in that person's life. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to gather together and to be reminded of the gift of prayer. And I pray that this week that each of us would receive that, embrace that, practice it. No matter where we are in our journey, if that's a new concept or if it's one that we just need to come back to, God, I pray that we would be a prayerful church. In Jesus' name, amen.